I'm an addict. My name's Karen.
Hey, Karen.
And first and foremost, I just want to really, really thank God. And I want to thank God for everything that has ever happened in my life and everything that has happened just on this day here at this convention. And if you're new, I want to extend the warmest welcome to you. There's something that happens here in Narcotics Anonymous. It's a life-saving program, and we have life-saving literature. And I've come to find out in my own recovery and in my own experiences that like, this thing is life or death. We have a disease that wants us to do nothing more than suffer, then die. And I'm talking like a deep suffering and then die. And we have an opportunity to come here into Narcotics Anonymous and get a daily reprieve. So that maybe today I can have some relief. So coming into Narcotics Anonymous, my clean date is December 23rd, 1990, and I want to share with you that I didn't, like, let you know that I believed in God, so I went everything against God, because if I could have removed God out of my life, I would have. And if the word God scares you, we can call it good orderly direction and higher power, and it's the concept we use. And it's pretty ironic that in our concept book, if you look on, if you have one, and if you don't, that's okay too. But the first thing, which I call a premium space, is the inside front cover, and it's the 12 steps. Now, I don't know about you, but let me share about me that there was no way that I could serve in an atmosphere of love when there's an atmosphere of love, and I don't have any experience with understanding nothing about accountability, right? Love, effective leadership, integrity, honesty. I lied for years around here. How about, like the communication that we need? So it took me believing you. And it took me being able to serve this fellowship at the level that we serve, which the best level to me and the best position I ever had in Narcotics Anonymous was my first position that you all so graciously gave to me, and that was the cigarette butt picker-upper. Because I was told that if we lose this facility, there will be no meeting here, and we will die. And we have to leave this place better than when we got here. So I thought I was the general. Now, you all allowed me to detox in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Our literature says that we can cold turkey it or we can go to a detox, but we must have total abstinence in order to recover. And I came from the day where we didn't have Motrins and all that stuff, and you got a brown paper bag if you were detoxing from a dope habit, and you were allowed to not have to sit down right away because they told us sit in the front row in the critical care unit, you vomited, you went back and forth, you couldn't walk, and you let everybody know out loud how bad you wanted to use and how desperate you were. And they gave me the position of the cigarette butt picker up. And there's a story to that because I never smoked. I was the dope addict that would say, man, them cigarettes going to kill you. But on my first day clean, right, on my first day I smoked a cigarette, and I drank coffee. I told you I got one clean date. I'm still clean, but I still smoke, and I still drink coffee. I was the one that came, I'm telling you, I kid you when I'm not off the streets, from Baltimore. My father was a homicide detective for Baltimore City. Me using and him didn't get along real well, right? But I was so concerned because this is the first experience ever in my life that I came somewhere that you didn't care that I shot dope, and you didn't care that I couldn't read or write, and you didn't care what I looked like. You didn't care anything about any of that and told me, we need your help. How does that happen? And I faithfully picked them cigarette butts up, and by the time it was done, here's how I started. Don't throw that cigarette butt on the floor. Don't you know that that addicts ain't going to be able to allow to come here if we lose that meeting? Put that stuff in that can. That's how I communicated with you. I had no compassion, no love. I was nothing. I told you if I could have removed God, I would have. I had hate in my heart so deep. And everybody owed me. But one thing I knew on my second day without using was my second day without using. And I saw that it was working for you. By the time it was said and done with my position as the cigarette butt picker-upper, right? I didn't have to say a word. I still stood there. And like if you even went to throw it down, you changed your mind. I had the same home group for 14 years in a row at that group, and I was the cigarette butt picker-upper for 3 terms at different periods. I never met so many people who loved me, not in spite of myself, that's not our literature, but loved me for just who I was. I wanted to serve this fellowship. Our first Free State Regional Convention, I had 30 days clean. It was going to be our first Baltimore area convention, but we went to the region for help, and we got our first regional convention. And they threw me on this committee. I didn't even know I was serving. And we didn't have any step guides, and we didn't have it works how and why. And then they threw me on the public information committee and subcommittee, and we would sit there, and I would go, and I'd be shaking, and I didn't know what I was doing. And we would try to study the traditions out of our step guide. I mean, out of our basic text. And we would go there for 2 hours. On the first Tuesday of every month, and it would be 3 of us. And we would go hoping that we got some mail. That maybe somebody, maybe EAP program or somebody wanted to know about us. Only once in a blue moon would Narcotics Anonymous be invited anywhere. So I want to give the highest respect to public information, because I don't believe that people come into Narcotics Anonymous because the shit was that bad out there. If I never heard of Narcotics Anonymous, how did I know to come? So the information from public information, they gave the information to the public. And I don't want to get it twisted with that. I remember this was my first convention here. And it was in the smaller, had 90 days clean, and it was in the smaller part of the convention center. It wasn't all this new stuff, and there was no theater seating, and it was round tables, and like there was enough seats for everybody. And when they called 90 days clean, I couldn't believe, I like pinched myself. I couldn't believe that, like, I wasn't shooting dope, and I remember standing on top of the table for my 90 days. I was real good. Look, when I was loaded, I could stand on top of a table. And like, that was my first instinct, right? Get on the table, Karen. And we started learning about the traditions. And the only way we were able to learn about the traditions back then was if you violated them. Look, it don't have to be that way like that today. We have experience. And the concepts came out. This book cost $1.40, right? And this concept book came out in 1992. I relearned to read and to write. And I wanted every bit of information that I could possibly get, not only just to save my life, everything was always about me, but to help save yours. Now, don't misunderstand me, because I know I can't make you get clean. I have a full understanding of that. If I could, I would. If I could give you an understanding of what kind of life that you don't even know you're getting ready to live, I'd give it all to you. And like our area adapted the concepts, but nobody wanted to learn about them because we had step and tradition meetings. And if you got asked to share on a tradition, you cringed. Just like the tradition? So it's today, if I went to you and you and you, can you share on the concept? We'd be like, the concept? So my friend, my good friend, we call him Hippie John. He was on the World Board for many years. And he wound up on the LIT committee for the concepts. And he knew that this was going to be the coffee table, tabletop book for any member. If they had their own home or in their home or in their room, this was what was going to be on your table. Needless to say, it didn't happen the way his vision saw it. But one thing with the concepts, it was written in the spirit of unity to guide us in our service structure. There was no way that I could live these principles without doing some work on myself, because I was the addict that would trust you with my life. But get me in a service position, and I knew you were stealing the money. Because I was a thief. I didn't know how to call me what I was. And remember, I went on this big thing that I didn't believe in God. In my first introduction to a third step, I told my sponsor, this is where I'm going to fail. And she said, why is that, Karen? And I said, because I don't believe in God. And she said, man, that's cool. You know, you don't have to believe in God. Hey, read our basic text. You hear it all the time. She said, but do you mind me asking you why you don't? And I said, because he dealt me a bad hand. And she said, who is he? And you know, we have topics at conventions, and you know, like, how about this one? We're only as sick as our secrets, and everybody goes to it. And I'm not talking about the secrets that I carried, right? Like, from some of the behaviors, sneaking out at night in the trench coat, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the deep secrets that I hated God, that I didn't ever think I'd be good enough for God. That's the stuff that was killing me. That's what kept me as sick as my secrets. That's what had me, right, wanting to let, harm you and wanting to accuse you of things in service work. How could I trust somebody with my life? And always watching to see what you're doing. And we used to say this word, and for me, and this is my own experience and my own beliefs, when they would say the N.A. Nazis. And they'd say, Karen, you're an N.A. Nazi. Not hold my head up. No, not to understand that we have that culture in our fellowship and their families were wiped out by Nazis. So I just really wanted to be somebody here because I was never nobody anywhere. And I wanted to show you that I could be a good recovering addict because I didn't understand powerlessness over my addiction wasn't about good or bad. That's like going on a diet, not eating ice cream and saying I've been good. Oh, I've been good and I eat the ice cream. I ain't shot dope. Let me do it again. I've been good. I had to understand, like there's a driving force in me. Talking after the drugs are gone. That causes that it hits me with that obsession and compulsion where I can't stop once I start. Where you would be doing all the right things and living by the principles and you'd be under attack by me. I couldn't be honest and open and integrity. Look, one of my secrets was I always wanted to be a woman of integrity. But I had such the hard surface from living on the streets. So with our concepts to guide our service structure, right, our groups put together the service structure, our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. If I didn't still suffer, I wouldn't still be here. Yes, the newcomer is the most important person, but I'm here to tell you, it's for the addict who still suffers. We all suffer. You will never know some of the sufferings that go on within me when I lay my head down at night. And if I don't come here to get a hope shot, I ain't staying. So if I'm called and we have a primary purpose, it's a new purpose. It's a new purpose from how I lived. And if it's a new purpose, then it calls for something in a new way. Because any addict can stop using drugs. Lose the desire to use, end. Doesn't say, try this too. And find a new way to live. So if we're called for a primary purpose, and it's something new, it has to be done in a new way. And we do it in a new way through our spiritual principles. But what does it take to be able to be a part of a unity and an atmosphere of love and like our groups form the service structure. Because our meetings are our best way of carrying this message from addict to addict, but it's not the only way that attracts an addict. And that's where we created the service structures, right? So that we could have H&I if you're new hospitals and institutions. An addict can't get out. and public information, real simple, to get the information to the public. And our special events committees. And our hotline committee, so an addict can call at any time of the day. If our groups focused all on everything, we wouldn't have time to focus on an addict one-on-one. We wouldn't have time to have a regularly scheduled meeting, right? Because we'd be too involved in all the business. We wouldn't have the resources. And when we talk about resources in our concepts in Narcotics Anonymous, we're not just talking about the money. Because an area can have all the money in the world. And an area wants to put on a major event, and you have the funds to do it. But you only have two people willing to serve. And I'm not saying that to be funny, but that happens because some areas are like in rural areas. The only way to serve around here isn't just in a group. Or an area, a regional world, we have sponsorship too. And through working the program and the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, we learn that what God has so graced us with and what gifts that we have been so freely given. If God did not gift me to be a regional delegate, please don't set me up and nominate me. Be able to see other people's gifts. Don't just give somebody a chance. We talk about giving them a chance and it's not their gift and they think they can't say no. And they say, yeah, I need a shot. You're giving somebody a chance to do something and I'm sitting here dying. And we as members of Narcotics Anonymous just set them up for failure. It's just like the addict that comes in here and won't share in an open meeting. And the sponsor says, you better share. To the point the addict is so paralyzed with fear to even talk. And we're telling them to raise their hand in a group and they can't even speak. And then they start disappearing and hiding from us. Because they're afraid if they come to a meeting, somebody's going to want to make them share. Listen, I'm telling you, I thought I was God, wanted to be God, wanted to let you know what you needed to do. If it wasn't for the spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous, I would not be able to serve in an atmosphere of love with integrity. I am not. It's our responsibility, yeah, to oversee the task that we've given to the area services that our groups had created. But we want to sit back. Right? Area service, something happened, but us as members and us as groups aren't paying attention to what's going on and something goes awry. We voted them into position and something goes awry and we start talking bad about them and it starts to be this, us and them. If we follow our concepts, there will be no us and no them. Because us in our groups are like involved in the task that we ask the area to be responsible to those they serve. I want to read something to you. I don't even know if I'm making any sense. In the second concept, it says the final responsibility. Listen, without step work with my sponsor and a loving God, there is nothing responsible in my life. So my idea was, oh good, somebody else has the responsibility. Woo. I'm too busy picking up cigarette butts. I got time to be worried about what they're doing. So it says, the second concept can be seen as the group's way of saying to the NA service structure, I'm not talking about with self-righteousness. And if you haven't been through the step process, you're probably sitting there not even knowing how self-righteous we are. I didn't think I was. But see, if it wasn't done my way, it wasn't done right. That was my whole life. I destroyed many, many relationships, romantic relationships, because I wouldn't allow the man to be the like what God was making them out to be and forming them to be because they couldn't do nothing right. I might as well do it myself. And if we can't delegate to people, if we're in a leadership position in service in Narcotics Anonymous, and we can't delegate to people because we can't, like don't want to trust God and turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, I'm going to think that I need to do it myself. And there's Fiona who comes in like so willing to serve, and I won't let her. Come join our committee. And she says, I can do it. They're the members we got to hold on to. Look, we're not getting any younger. That's all right. You just sit back and listen. What I found is that I can be taught all I want, but I'm not going to gain my own experience. If I'm locked down, and nobody's allowing me to become who I'm supposed to become. Right? So it says the second concept can be seen as the group's way of saying to the NA service structure, be responsible with the spiritual, personal, and financial resources we have provided you. Seek our advice, right? Do not ignore our direction. That's what it says. It doesn't say, let me not be involved in the services that we've tasked you to do. And when something goes wrong, don't you know you serve us? But there's a lot of communication breakdown that our concepts like stress about clear communication. And I want to share with you something on my fourth step out of the step working guide. And it was under the section of resentment. And if I would have never done a four-step with a sponsor, I wouldn't have been able to clearly communicate with you because I would have never found out that omission was lying because I kept everything on the lowdown. I told you half the truth and I got half the help. So under the resentments, it says, when has my inability or unwillingness to experience certain feelings cause resentment? The answer for me was always communication. You hurt my feelings. I wouldn't tell you because I wasn't going to be a punk. So I would become angry and not communicate with you what just happened, and I would keep it moving to the next relationship. I'm not talking a romantic relationship. Talking it was a friendship. But because I was so much of a coward, and I couldn't let you know exactly how I felt, I copped a resentment. So if I'm on a service committee, and I have to give a report, and something goes wrong and I don't even understand what humility is, because remember, I'm in the self-righteousness. If I can't, if, you know, if it ain't gonna be done right unless I do it. So if it's messed up, that means I did it. That means I need to lie to you, try to cover it up. I don't want to tell you the truth because I don't have the integrity. I don't have the honesty. I don't have nothing to give you. And the lies start. It's a cover up. First step says, how do you feel that you don't have to lie to continue covering up your using? And when we talk about using in our literature, we're talking about the drug. When we talk about the disease of addiction, there's many symptoms that come with it clean. I thought that once the obsession to use was lifted from me, I got our one promise. I thought I had freedom from active addiction. I didn't see the conjunction of the end, find a new way to live. But I'm serving this fellowship, and I got a love for this fellowship, and I really do care about your life. I just didn't know how to do it with compassion. Everything was conditioned. All that damn stuff I did for public information, and they're going to send me out of the room, and there's two people running for chairperson, and I wasn't the one that won the vote. Share my own experience. So through step work, with the sponsor, and you all telling me to find a God that's loving and caring, and me finding and raising my level of awareness of character defects and being able to understand that I can't change me if nothing changes my clean date will, that I need to like humbly ask Him. And by humbly asking Him to remove my shortcomings, I was able to serve this fellowship unconditionally and give Fiona a chance. She has what it takes. It amazes me so many people are here in the concept meeting. I begged Rashima to let me go first. I'm like, please, look, you've been studying and reading and look, Deanie, like, I'm like, I need a book. Here's $1.40. She got me the book. Because what I found is that I don't know what I know unless I say something. And when I find out that I can share something that on my own experience, that I really did know something. I don't know if that makes any sense. But I got the old, back in the day when you got asked to share on a tradition, I got the old Wendini saw concept. I need a book. Life-saving literature. So by being able to clear up resentments, I was able to give you clear, concise reports. We were watching early this morning Law and Order, and every time something happened, right, the state's attorney would run to the big boss and tell him exactly what happened, where everything messed up. And he had integrity about it, and he wanted to tell the truth so there weren't no loopholes. Because if I would get busted in the line giving you a fake report, because I was too afraid of the repercussions of what you would think of me, I would have to turn around and say, I didn't do it. So-and-so did it, and they quit the committee. Look, after coming to NA, we realized we're sick people. I'm not saying that to be funny. So our concepts, like, it talks about in our concepts, I only got a couple minutes, but it says group conscience is the spiritual means by which we invite a loving God to influence our decisions. And our concepts talk about a group, a conscience is a spiritual faculty. Like we have this innate compass, like that's in here that guides us with right and wrong. I'm talking about our literature. And our 11th step says enforced morality lacks the power when we choose to live a spiritual life. So if you say, Karen, you can't do that, I would like be white knuckling and trying not to do it because I didn't understand and didn't want to admit what my morals and values were, because if I did, I'd have to like kind of go down the new way of life. So it's a collective group conscience and everybody has a say. And I was the one that raised my hand about everything, so when I spoke, you didn't hear me no more. You didn't hear me no more. And because of being able to serve in the atmosphere of love that's created by members who have had a spiritual awakening, I am today the lone voice. I'll sit back and I can listen and I can search my conscience and be able to reflect on what might be best for Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Because having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I'm more concerned about you. I always knew what would be best at area service and at the region. Didn't you all? Look, come on, but first step work, didn't you all? Sometimes, don't we still? It's like, depends on our spiritual condition on this day. We were taught we pray, go to meetings, and don't pick up. That meant no matter what meeting we were going into, you prayed first. Whether it was a service meeting, a regularly scheduled meeting, a group conscience, a business meeting, you prayed first. It says conscience is a spiritual faculty. If you told me I was wrong, my answer was according to who? True story. One of them, like with the toothpaste, you know, you start at the bottom, not the middle. According to who? God have mercy. Anyway, we are responsible. Area service, the region, the world, area service from the group is at the top, then the area service, they are not fully self-supporting. We are responsible as groups to finance our area service. We're the ones that put them in place so that we could better have our meetings of recovery. And we could attract addicts from hospitals and institutions and public information and hotlines. And it's because I was such a thief, as soon as I thought somebody at area was stealing money, I'd put a motion right in the group. Don't pass no money along no more. But still go down there and find out what's going on. So, I don't know. I'm out of time. Effective leadership. I mean, I could go into all of it. I don't even know if I did. Good. Because I just got on this. I'm sweating, boy. Ooh, something happens when you tell the truth. But one thing I know, if we elect our trusted servants into a position, that means we're going to trust them. We're going to trust them. So I want to thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, and I want to thank God for everybody who is sitting in these chairs today, and thank God for everybody who serves our fellowship, even if it's just to say hi and give a smile to somebody. So I want to thank the region for asking me to share my experience, strengths, and hopes, and Rashima for just setting the whole tone for the whole meeting. I'm an addict. My name's Karen.